Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Open Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to talk about four fantastic days that lie ahead at Carnoustie are the Racing Post, Steve Palmer and Joe Champion, and also from Paddy Power, Ian McLaughlin. We're really excited, looking ahead to working out who's going to win the whole thing, who's going to be top American, top Korean, top left-hander, top senior, whatever else. Will there be a birdie? Will there be an albatross? Will it be high scoring, low scoring? The boys will answer all the questions. So, without further ado, take it away, Ian McLaughlin, with a nice deep show of betting from Paddy Power.
Will do, Bruce. Now we're 10 places for the Open Championship this week. Dustin Johnson heads our betting at 10-1. Justin Rose next in at 14-1. Ricky Fowler 16-1. Rory McIlroy 16-1. Jordan Spieth 18-1. Tommy Fleetwood 18-1. Brooks Koepka 18-1 and 20-1 bar.
Righty ho! Without further ado, Stevie, the front page of the fantastic 24-page supplement. There's a great big picture of a tiger with golf balls for eyes. There's a little clue there about who you are tipping.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Yes, I think Tiger's got a very good chance of making a big impression in this tournament. He loves the conditions. His first Open win came on a firm fast track at St Andrews in 2000. His last Open win, it was even more scorched and baked at Hoylake. I remember almost fainting at Hoylake in 2006. It was so hot, and he's got a concrete Carnoustie at the moment, and there's very little rain in the air. So it takes driver out of his hand. He doesn't need driver. That's the club he always gets in trouble with. He's the best iron player that's ever lived. And this season, it's been up to almost vintage levels of Tiger iron play. He's fourth on the US Tour, strokes gained on approach. That's a key stat this week. And while we're on the stats bus, he's third for strokes gained around the green. So what a combination that is for a firm, fiery lynx like Carnoustie. He'll be firing at the flags, and if he misses the greens, he's scrambling well enough to get up and down. So yeah, very optimistic about Tiger. This latest comeback from back surgery, nothing short of staggering. A lot of people, including me, I hold my hands up. I thought he was finished. I thought the back problems were too serious to overcome. But the latest surgery, the spinal fusion surgery, has worked absolute wonders. If he wins this week, he might as well give the check to his surgeon, because he's clearly a miracle worker. His swing speed, Tiger's swing speed, is faster than it's ever been. And over the last 7 months of the comeback, he's just slowly but surely got better. He's got sharper. He's contended a few times. And I think he's going to get his reward now on a track which most of the young guns, his rivals, I think will come unstuck on.
And Steve, that scrambling is going to be a key element, isn't it, this week? And if you remember, it's only a year or so ago that he had the touch of an elephant, didn't he? I mean,
Absolutely. He was
airmailing greens and duffing them and all that, wasn't
Absolutely. He? No, it's remarkable. He did have the chip in yips almost because he was so rusty. But now he is, again, he's one of the best chippers on the planet. And no, the comeback's fantastic. But why did we ever doubt him? You know, this is the greatest player that's ever lived. I find it, I'm angry with myself for thinking that he was finished at 42 years of age. But no, he's back in business. And this tournament is about links experience, about tactical nous, course management, temperament. Tiger's the boss in all of those departments. And, already a lot of people accusing me of being bonkers for tipping Tiger Woods to win this Open. But four of the last seven Opens have been won by a 40-something. You know, he's a 42-year-old. He's not washed up. You know, we're all in our 40s. We're all in our 40s.
Sadly, I'm not
anymore.
Speak
for yourself.
Well, you are now, Steve, aren't you? So perhaps you're... Because you used to be quite ageist. You used to be a little bit... dismissive of older folk, but now you're 40. I think you've realised, haven't you?
Well, this is it. I'm looking at my pencil.
Right, exactly. Well, I say exactly as if I know. I don't want to know. On page four, there's some fantastic stats here, Stephen. One of them, eight of the last 11 Open champions were 35 or older, and
Absolutely.
Yet the market is dominated by young guns, isn't it? Now, you've been telling me that Tiger's going to win the Open since about March. Have you had more than like the usual 10 or 20 quid on him? How much does he win you this week?
Well, yeah, even I'm going to have a degree of secrecy about this one, because I think I've got a tad more on than my family would appreciate. I mean, I had Betfair Customer Services on the line yesterday threatening to suspend my account because they were a bit worried about me. But I told them not to worry. I'm in complete control of my emotions. I know what I'm doing. I just...
I'll ring at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and we'll test that, shall we?
No, I've got an official party line for when people ask me. I've bet what I can afford to lose, but I could win a life-changing sum.
Okay. Do I need to get the old cling film out in case Monday morning you come into the office and
clear your
throat?
That is a possibility. There's a possibility. But I mean, I've gone in hard, but I've still got time to sort of think about it, because that weather forecast is a little bit concerned. That the only thing I think that can stop him is the Thursday tea time. He's out so late, and it's just when the wind's starting to pick up on Thursday afternoon. The strongest winds are on Thursday afternoon, so it's a slight handicap. You know, not crazy strong winds, but enough to concern me. But no, at certain times in life, you've got to take your chances, and this is one of them.
Okay, we'll come back to you for a little more about the weather in a minute. Joe Champion, who's your outright fancy? The one player, if you could only have one bet.
If I could have one bet, I'd back Brooks Koepka. I mean, this guy is rock solid in majors. I was looking at it, he's finished top 20 in 10 of the last 11. And the one he didn't finish in the top 20, he finished 21st, which is not bad going.
Did you know, by the way, that to mark that feat, Paddy Power are offering 11 to 10 that he finishes in the top 21?
I did see that, yeah. Yeah, well.
It's good innovative bookmaking. Well done, Ian McGuire.
Very clever.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, so you think Brooks has got the temperament as well? You like what you saw in the US Open?
I think so. He's won two in a row. And that, you know, to win back-to-back majors in the same major is a massive feat. And, you know, this is a guy who's played on the European Tour before. He loves Lynx Golf, and he's won in Scotland. He won the Scottish Hydro Open on the Challenge Tour. And his open record, his last two starts, 10th and 6th. So you're getting 10 places about a proven major champion. I think he's a great bet. And Paddy Power are ducking him as well. Like, other firms are bigger, but 10 places, 18 to 1, it's not bad.
I'm with you for what it's worth, which is absolutely nothing, but I love Brooks Koepka. Ian, who do you like?
I like Brooks as well. I can echo Joe's sentiments there. But my top tip is Dustin Johnson. Statistically the best player in the world at present, obviously world number one. He ticks the right box in categories of Carolite quite well with Carnoustie. Steve mentioned strokes gained approach. He ranks highly there. Strokes gained ball striking combination of driving and iron play. He's highly there. Strokes gained putting. He's putting great. One of the best wind players on tour, so he'll have no fears when the wind inevitably blows. I was over in Carnoustie on Monday and Tuesday. And
oh, were you? Oh.
Yes.
What did you learn?
Well, from DJ, I learned he's striking the ball out of this world, really. He was playing with Brooks Koepka for a practice round for 9 holes. And I think both of them went around. I think it was 5-under through 9 to 2 of them.
Wow.
And they didn't really miss a shot.
They had every shot. Were they taking the big dog a lot, or were they playing safe?
They took it off 2... They tried off 4 and 6. 4 and 6 are kind of ones where you can lay up short. You can kind of just bomb it over all the bunkers. So they tried each scenario, one iron, one driver. And they both cannon drivers over the burn on 6, the bunker on 4 into the middle of the fairway. They didn't really miss a shot. Like back to DJ, like with the low power fade that he was using there, and he uses to good effect on these sort of tough links courses. We'll keep him in play off the tee. His drives when he went after them were still finding the fairway. His approach play was superb, and as I mentioned, he was making birdies for fun on that front side. Just back to his major form, like he was in scintillating form for 36 holes of the US Open on a links course where the wind blew at Shinnecock Hills. He had a 4-shot lead through 36, even though he's on the worst side of the draw, which kind of shows, like, if he was on the better side of the draw, you'd probably give him another 2 or 3 shots. Obviously, the USGA in brackets lost Shinnecock on Saturday, and he kind of came back to the pack then, and then Brooks kind of took him down on the Sunday afternoon. Myself, pricing, I have my own doubts about a large percentage of the front end of the market in relation to form and their suitability to the course. I have DJ still a couple of ticks shorter my prices than what the market is out there, and I think he'll grab his second major this week.
His open record's not fantastic, is it, Ian?
No, he from about 2009 to 2011, he had a decent record. I remember 2011, Clark's Open, he hit it OB on 14, where he's in a good chance of winning. I think he was one behind at the time. He led at St. Andrews in 2015 through 36 holes as well, and then kind of just, I think he finished in 45th or something. He had just a terrible weekend. I think his suitability to the wind and this kind of power fade that takes literally all the trouble out of the left side of Carnoustie, like the out of bounds, a lot of gorse on the left side. I think he's primed for a big week.
And Ian, tell us what you thought of the course when you're up there. Did you find it, you know, relative to the normal open layout, easy, hard? Is the rough ankle deep or up to your thighs? What can we expect?
From the tee into the green, like, the fairways are obviously very, very fiery. The bunkers are chasms. They're very, very deep. The rough, with the weather being so good and warm, the rough is long, but it's very wispy. It's very very brown. Like, walking through it, there doesn't seem to be many. There's a few deep patches, and you'd be quite unlucky just to find them off the tee. And listening to the likes of Rory McIlroy and John Rahm, when they walked the course Monday playing the first practice round, they said they're probably going to add another 5 or 6 drivers to their course management. Like, so they think there's a real room off the tee for them to kind of unleash the driver in a few holes. So, okay. And with the greens as well, the greens, I think the R&A are just trying to keep the greens to some sort of a receptive level. I don't think they want any sort of USGA style. If the wind gets up and they have them at 11 or 12 in the stimp, I think they're kind of keeping it to a 10. And they look to be watering every evening by the looks. Because we showed up again Tuesday morning with not much rain overnight, and the greens were very soft and receptive again. So.
And Steve's obviously on his way up there directly after this broadcast. So did you find any nice pubs for Steve and his dad?
We weren't actually drinking. We kept it very professional. So and I have to say, I followed Tiger for six holes Monday morning, and I feel like telling a child that Santa Claus isn't real, but Tiger wasn't very impressive at all, to be honest.
Oh, no, wasn't he?
No,
oh,
he was very, very loose. The iron play, Steve, it was very scrappy. He was playing with Justin.
What day was that, Monday?
That was Monday about.
That's okay, that's plenty of time. Don't worry about that.
He was playing with Justin Thomas, and Thomas wasn't impressive either, but he played better than Tiger, let's say.
Oh, no, Steve, and even that's not walking,
what you want to hear.
Walking the course. I've learned plenty of lessons over the years watching practice rounds. I used to go out there at the start of the week, didn't I, on the Sunday, and watch practice rounds. You see someone striping it, and you think, oh, he's the man, and then he misses the cut. I don't read too much into it, but, I think the course is going to get harder as the week goes on. Yeah. I think.
Take me through the weather then, Steve. What are you expecting?
Well, the first morning's quite pleasant, but it'd be bone hard because there won't be any rain before then. And then it's sunny all day. So Thursday afternoon, as I say, I think it'd be the most difficult playing conditions over the first 2 days. And then there's a little bit of drizzle overnight on early Friday morning. So Friday could be, scoring could be good again. But then over the weekend, I think the R&A will realise that scoring's too low. They won't be happy with that. They'll stop watering the greens, and the greens will dry out over the weekend, and it'll be a much tougher test as it goes on. Because it's a very hot weekend forecast.
They're fairly flat greens, though, these, aren't they? There's not too many places they can hide the pins away, I don't think, is there? Is that right?
They are flat greens, and they're slow and receptive at the moment. But, I think they'll dry out as the week wears on, and it'll get more difficult. I think we're looking at sort of 8 under par as potential winning score.
8 under? Is that all you've got?
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree.
I think the bookmakers that are betting on scores, they've got that slightly lower. I mean, the one thing, the only reason I'm so obsessive about this is that I've had a huge bet on 64 or lower to be the lowest round score. How do you like my chances, Ian, having been up there?
I think you could land that. Maybe, as Steve said, with the drizzle Friday night, early Friday morning, someone could stick a low one in there.
Okay.
Maybe even tomorrow morning. Like, there's generally always a fast start at Thursday morning at the Open. Maybe an unheralded player who kind of gets the lead of 5 or 6 under par. So you might sneak it then.
Oh, I'm a bit concerned about that. Right, let's look at the other players that you guys fancy to complete your betting portfolios. Stevie.
I think Brandon Grace is an absolutely masterful links golfer. He's had a month off since the US Open, but I wouldn't worry about that. He's got a fantastic major record, would have put in the necessary preparation. I think Matthew Fitzpatrick is another...
Sorry, Steve, just a quick one on Grace.
Yeah, sorry.
He's just had a child, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a son. Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's called him Roger.
Roger.
I mean, it's 2018, you don't call your child Roger, do you? That's actually astonishing.
Yeah, I don't know the details.
I couldn't believe it.
Wasn't there, was a Viz character called Roger Melly, wasn't there?
Is,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe he liked him.
Perhaps he did.
I don't know, Roger Grace. It's an odd one, but I know you're not a big fan of the nappy factor, but
I don't believe it.
The key point of the nappy factor is if you have a son, you've got more chance of success than you have a daughter. So the fact that he's had a Roger rather than
you may as well tell me horoscope, Steve. I'm sorry, it's mumbo jumbo, mate. Anyway, right. So you're going with Grace, then who else?
I'm going with Tiger Woods, Brandon Grace, Matthew Fitzpatrick, another fantastic links performance. He's only 23, but Jordan Spieth was 23 when he won the Open last year. Fitzpatrick's a sneaky long driver when the conditions are firm. He gets a lot of run on his drive, so typically his handicap is a lack of length, but it's not going to be an issue this week. He's as accurate as they come. He had a lovely warm-up in Scotland last week. I mean, stats fans will just be backing players that played in the Scottish Open because 6 out of the last 8 Open winners played in the Scottish Open. And Fitzpatrick played nicely there. He was in the second group out on the final day and then started with a double bogey, which sort of took him out of the mix immediately. But it was a decent warm-up. And Fitzpatrick, I think he's underrated because he looks, he's a tiny lad. He doesn't look particularly intimidating, but his career progression is absolutely outstanding. He's a former US amateur champion, former world amateur number one. He's already won 4 times. He's only 23. What more can he do? I think Fitzpatrick is an underrated player. So they're my top 3 selections.
Uh-huh. And then what?
Then we've got Matthew Southgate, who been getting a lot of fun with the galleries lately, calling him Gareth and whatnot. But yeah, this is another fantastic links golfer. Second in the Irish Open last year. One of many impressive efforts on links terrain. He had a good amateur record as a links golfer. Given membership of Carnoustie as a 16th birthday present to Matthew Southgate by his dad. So he's got 14 years of Carnoustie membership under his belt. He knows the course well. And 12th and 6th in the last two Opens. I mean, blimey, that's an incredibly good effort, isn't it? Yeah. And he tied 5th in the French Open at the start this month on a very difficult course. So he seems to have found form at the perfect time for what is undoubtedly his favourite event.
And as with his namesake, he seems like a nice fella as well, doesn't
he?
Oh,
he's absolutely
like a really nice guy.
Really nice fella. I remember Henrik Stenson won the Claret Jug, the first man waiting to greet him on the 18th green was Matthew Southgate. I didn't know what connection they had, but he's just such a good egg, he wanted to shake the winner's hand.
If Under Armour or any of these clothing manufacturers, whoever sponsors him, had anything about them, they'd do a branded waistcoat, wouldn't they, for him to play in this week?
They would. No.
And you've got one more guy who I literally have never heard of till I open the Racing Post site. I mean, who is this fella?
This is Grant Forrest, whose career hasn't taken off yet, but he's only 25. He's getting his act together now on the Challenge Tour. He's had a couple of runner-up finishes on the Challenge Tour. He played well in Italy last week. I think Grant Forrest has got a decent future in this game, and crucially, he knows Carnoustie like the back of his hand, and he was second in the 2015 Amateur Championship there. And he says it's one of his favourite courses. So I think you've got a player who's a links natural. You know, he's grown up playing the game. He's proven on this particular course, and he's improving. And he's 1,000 on the exchanges. And
have you managed to get a bit of that?
Yeah. I mean, there was millions available, 1,000. so you
how much will he win you then? I mean, you don't need to have much on to.
No, that's right. Not as much as Tiger, which says. But if you go through the history of the Opens, there's always one player that, you know, like you say, the casual observer has never heard of. Like you, Chris Wood, when he first started playing in Opens, not many people knew much about him. He contended to finish fifth in his first Open, third in the next one. The fine young man, Justin Rose. Yeah, the fine young man, Justin Rose. How many people have heard of him in Birkdale 90, whatever it was, 98? So Grant Forrest, I think, is a name to keep on your radar. Yeah, I think he's the man that could stun everyone this week.
Okay, lovely stuff. The champ, who else are you adding to the Brooks Koepka portfolio?
I'll echo what Steve said about Brandon Graves. He's one of my favourite golfers, particularly because I back him most majors and he tends to place in most of them as well. I think if he's going to win one, it probably will be the Open, even though he's had great chances in the US, top links player. Another one I like is probably one of the most inconsistent players on the European Tour. But if he's on his game, he can go far, and that's Torbjörn Olesen, another fine links player, Italian Open champion. He's been a bit more consistent in recent weeks, in and out as always, but you know, 6 at the Irish Open and a former Dunhill champion, and he was second in 2012 there as well. So his contemporaries have all got a similar amount of titles, so that shows when he is playing well, you know, he has a great chance.
So just the three for you?
Yeah, well, I'll probably have a couple more. But
Grace,
I like that, champ. Olsen. I like that. If he plays as easy as a lot of people are suggesting, then Olesen's got a big chance. He can go very low in easy conditions. I just thought it might be a bit too hard for him. But there's two schools of thought this week, isn't there? A lot of people saying that, you know, you take driver on every hole, your Rams, your McIlroys, we're going to overpower the course. Dustin Johnson, it sounds like, is taking that tactic. And then there's the other half, you know, the sensible heads like Tiger, irons off the tee.
Wayward iron, loose irons, spraying
irons
it everywhere.
Off the tee, course management, treat Carnoustie with the respect it deserves, and get to the 8-under 70-hole total.
Okay. Ian, Dustin, Jermaine Tipp, who else are you going to augment that one with?
I've got a couple more. Second one is Alex Narn. I've touted Narn as a future Open champion for some time. I think he goes very close this week. Obviously, he's well suited by links golf where the wind blows. He says it's because these are the type of courses, conditions associated with Sweden where he grew up playing the game. Already has a victory on a links layout in Scotland, the 2016 Scottish Open. Was the course record holder Carnoustie 64 in 2016 before Tommy Fleetwood snatched it from his hands last year. Looking back, that 64 was actually shot in conditions similar to this week, quite firm, quite fast, bumpy into the greens themselves. So that's a plus. he was kind of a little bit off the radar until he won the French Open 3 weeks ago. That only solidified my confidence in him as a selection. His stats link up well with the course characteristics, ranks highly in strokes gained approach, drive and accuracy, bogey avoidance. Similar to DJ, that stock shot of a low penetrating fade will always work well around here. As I mentioned, it takes the whole left side of the golf course out of play. I think he comes here with a huge chance, and with the extra places on offer, I think he looks the each way better of the week.
And anyone else?
The second one is Zach Johnson. Two-time major champion, obviously, who looks to be coming into a nice run of form. I perked up when I saw a 63 at the John Deere Classic on Sunday. Just showed that the game is coming into good shape. Similar to 2015, when he won the Open, he was second to Jordan Spieth at the John Deere as well. So he kind of has that sort of, plays well to John Deere, goes on and performs well in an Open Championship. With Carnoustie being fast and firm, there are zero concerns about his lack of distance off the tee for me. He should be able to put himself in position to attack flags on, as I mentioned, fairly receptive greens. Open champion in St. Andrews in 2015, has shown up in Open Champions in Scotland in the past. He was 6th in 2013 and 12th in 2016 with his accurate driving and his approach stats looking strong. If his putter stays warm, he can contend at a big price.
And he's got a winning mentality in, hasn't
he? That's it, yeah, he's dogged. If he gets into a battle, he should stick around for the weekend.
Great stuff, fantastic. We're off and running. More tips coming up in a sec.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Okay, welcome back. We've done the outrights. So let's look at some of the derivative markets. Top American, top European, top Brit, top Scot, top absolutely everything. There's a whole array of tops. Steve Palmer, who's your top tip, so to speak?
Top tip is Hideto Tanihara for top Japanese. I mean, we've been talking about the likeness between Hoylake 2006 and Carnoustie 2018, and Tanihara was fifth in that tournament, his best Open performance by far. And I think Hideki Matsuyama is a very dodgy odds-on favourite here. Matsuyama not been playing well of late, dropping down the world rankings, and he's in the Tiger Woods three ball, which obviously doesn't help him. I'm not sure he can handle it. It's going to be a manic Thursday afternoon three, but I don't think Matsuyama's playing well enough to handle that.
Okay. Ian, who's your top tip?
It's the top rest of the world, and it's Ryan Fox. Strong links player who's shown that prowess the past 2 weeks. Runner-up at the Irish Open and a top six in the Scottish Open last week. Again, going back to the ball flight, I'm looking for a low fade. Penetrates through the wind, which is well-suited to links golf and Carnoustie in particular. He impressed me on the range Monday, Tuesday. Didn't really miss a shot. That was just a repetition, that low fade throughout the bag. So that was impressive. Back to Steve's point, to Hideki Matsuyama, I've linked him in with a few big doubts around runners in the market in relation to form, fitness, etc. These include Jason Day, Matsuyama, Louis Oosthuizen, Charles Schwartzel. I think there's prices of 25-1 out there, four places. I think that's a cracking bet.
Would you ever give Leishman a chance in this market? I've backed him on the outright. I haven't had any inspiration from any of you guys yet. What do you think of Leishman, Ian?
I would give him. I think he probably should be close to favourite in the market. I think he's second favourite behind Day. I'd probably have him favourite at the moment. He is solid. He'll be suited to this sort of test. And he's one of those, if you have a bet in this sort of derivative market like the rest of the world, he doesn't have to win the tournament. If he gets to the top 15, which he probably will, he'll be bang there to win it, I think.
That's good enough for me. And Champ?
Yeah, coincidentally, top Australian, Mark Leishman.
Oh, well done. Excellent. I should have waited, shouldn't I?
Not to be confused with top Australasian, which some bookmakers are offering.
Yeah, because that brings in Fox, doesn't it? Which we don't
want to keep Fox on side, really. So, Mark Leishman, I think everything Ian said, he should be favourite in that market. Day's got a poor Open record. Adam Scott's gone off a cliff.
Has Scott gone now?
I think so, yeah. His putting's
off. He just can't handle shop,
Scott's given himself his best possible chances. He's been there for 3 weeks. He's been practicing at Carnoustie for 3 weeks. He's obviously decided that this is the tournament of all.
3 weeks?
Yeah. Of all the players, he's been done the most practice. Obviously, what happened to him a few years ago, where he blew a four-shot lead over the final four holes, that obviously still in his head. He's probably thinking, I don't want to end my career without the claret jug. So he's given himself the best possible chance. But it doesn't really matter if you can't putt for toffee, does it?
No, exactly.
So I will rule him out. But I think heavy hitters need to be alerted to Ryan Fox for top New Zealand there. I know you always think I'm a bit crazy when I go for these two-runner markets, but...
Well, who's the other one?
Michael Hendry. So, I mean, if you're a heavy hitter, Ryan Fox to win that with perhaps Thorbjørn Olesen for top Dane, again, a two-runner market with a rubbish amateur, pair them together in a double and, make hay.
Okay. Champ, anything else for you on the tops?
Alex Norén for top Swede. I think Henrik Stenson, he's had injury problems the last few weeks. We've already spoke about how good Norén is, and I expect him to go fairly close this week, so he should be able to beat Stenson. There's not a lot else in that market.
Okay. Right, let's look at our old favourite first round leader. You need to give us a show of betting. Tell us what the each way terms. I hope they're nice and juicy, Ian. And obviously, we need to know what price the HOF is as well.
Sure. Prices are juicy. Place terms are juicy with eight places. Dustin Johnson has the betting 20-1. Justin Rose 25-1. Ricky Fowler 25-1. Rory McIlroy 25-1. Jordan Spieth 30-1. John Rahm 30-1. And 33-1 bar. And I'll just find the HOF for you now. The HOF is 40-1.
40. They've shown him a lot of respect this week, Steve, haven't they? He's in with Noren and Dustin.
How about that?
But the trouble with that, it's not so much who you're with, it's when you're going out and it's 1:04 p.m., which you think might be slightly hazardous. Steve, I'll ask you this in a second, Ian, but Steve, what do you think the difference between the morning and the afternoon starters is going to be worth on Thursday? Because it's important for first round leader, isn't it?
Yeah, at least a couple of shots, because it's going to be much windier. Well, sort of 6 mile an hour stronger, and obviously drying out as the day goes on. So I think big advantage for morning starters. I'd be pretty staggered if it's not one of the morning wave who is first round leader.
Is that how you see it, Ian, as well?
I'd agree totally. Yeah, I think it's a shot or two. That wind, like, we were there early morning, Monday, Tuesday, and that wind was very cold, and the ball wasn't getting out as far as it really was. But if it's playing receptive, it should be fine. And then, obviously, as Steve said, if the course is drying out and the wind gets up, it's going to be very, very tough in the afternoon.
Okay, then let's get first round leader tips, starting with Joe Champion.
There's a former Open champion that tees off at 8:36 in the morning. And he hasn't done much for the last few years. It's Stuart Sink. But he's just come into a bit of form. His last three starts, 4th, 2nd and 23rd. And in the first round, he's opened with a 68 in each round. So I think he's a decent shout. You know, we know
he
handles
massive
golf.
Price.
80-1.
80?
Yep.
Oh, I like that, champ. Well played. Steve, who's your idea of the first round leader?
I think Sir Matthew Southgate will be the first round leader. He's off at the crack of dawn, 6:46 a.m. And that coolness that Ian spoke about there won't be there, I don't think. It's quite a sunny morning predicted for the first day. Get the softest of the conditions, no wind, as we say, quiet crowds. And he's a links master who can just get on with the job of making birdies. I can see Southgate making hay before most of the big names are out late in the day. So,
Will you be following him around, Steve? Have you decided who you're going to be trailing?
Yeah. If I get there in time, I've got.
Well, I was going to say,
still in Weymouth at the moment. yeah, that'll be my target.
Weymouth's only just around the corner. I'm just having a little look on my app, actually. Let's have a look now. It's 505.
Jeez.
It's 542 miles.
Yeah.
And it's currently showing 9 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh. Well, this is it. This is
so,
it.
So you and your dad will have a decent old game of I Spy there, innit?
Yeah, I've got some Johnny Vaughan podcasts ready, don't worry.
God, you'll need some of them, won't you?
Yeah.
Do you like a Johnny Vaughan podcast?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Johnny Vaughan. Yeah, I think
he's a very
funny man, yeah.
Ian McLaughlin, have you got the first round leader for us?
Hopefully. I have two selections. The first one is Emiliano Grillo. As the lads outlined, morning tea time start. He's 6:57. He's prone to a fast start. Hopefully he can just post a good number. I think there's prices of 125-1 out there. Wouldn't put anybody off. And the second one is Kelly Kraft. I was impressed with what I saw, the past 2 days in relation to his ball striking on the range and onto the course. He was a US amateur at a links layout at Erin Hills in 2014. Has been prone to fast starts. Three of his last four first rounds of the PGA Tour, 66, 64, 66. If you go shopping, there's 251 out there, and I wouldn't put anybody off that.
Great stuff. Okay, back with more tips and the lads' open naps in a mo.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back, Bruce Millington, Joe Champion, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. Looking ahead to the 100, what is it, Steve?
47.
140, is that
the
right?
Snoop the maximum break open, isn't it?
Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah, good point. That's a good way of remembering it. The 147th Open at Carnoustie. The lads have given us all their outright and their first round leader and their top American and what have you. Let's see if there's any other little derivative markets going on. I'm keen, Ian, to hear more about your scouting mission. First of all, were you the only bookie there, do you think, having a lot? Was there a little gang of you? Could you spot people from other firms, or were your notepads out and your video cameras?
I'm unsure. I'm unsure who was there. I wouldn't know any other golf trader if I saw them. I'm very private myself, so I wouldn't be out in the public eye too often.
Oh, okay, fair enough. And what did you learn? Give me three more things that you learned.
I think the field has compacted so much together from what I thought would be going over there to start. Or pricing it, like we priced it last Friday, and going over there, it's kind of, I think it's compacted the field, and it's one where you can't really rule anybody out. And the way the bombers are talking, the way the lads who are going to have the game plan talking, I think everyone's going in their confident type of way. The one thing with the Greens, I thought the Greens would be a little bit firmer. Steve said they are probably going to dry out. I think it all rests in the RNA to see what they really do. But for the first two or three days that we saw, they were very receptive. They were completely polar opposite to what the fairways, the rough was. Very hard, very wispy,
they
firm.
They say the fairway's quicker than the greens, isn't it?
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Okay, excellent. Well, that's all good info. There's one market that you've got in which really fascinates me, and that is a player. Will any player be bogey free in the first round?
Yes
is 13-8. Steve, I thought one of the 156 of them would manage to avoid a bogey, or am I getting sucked into a trap here?
I think a lot of people are getting sucked into the trap. Yeah, there's too much from your John Rahms and your Rory McIlroys. They believe in themselves. They're talking themselves into thinking they're going to destroy this track. But you know, this is the beast. This is Carnoustie, and I see bogeys on every scorecard.
Yeah. Oh, blimey. Okay, and Ian, just quickly back to you, I'll ask all three of you this. Will it be a bomber or a plotter that gets the job done? Ian, you go first.
Well, my top tip is a bomber, so I'm going to have to say bomber.
Okay, champ?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree.
And Steve, you think it's going to be a plotter, don't you?
I think plotter, yeah. I've been in this game long enough to know that bombing gets you nowhere.
What sort of player are you, Steve? You're pretty bold, aren't you? Take the chief wherever
retired,
you can.
Semi-retired, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay, fair enough. Right then, what other tips have you got for us, lads, that aren't your nap? Don't give the nap away, but anything you've sussed during your trawl through all the plethora of markets. Champ, what you got for me?
Well, probably my second best bet would just be Brandon Grace for a top 30 finish, which I think is just a shade of odds against. I think he's just a rock solid.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty simple, really.
So little Roger will be very proud of his old man this week, yeah? Ian, what have you got for us?
I mentioned him a first-round leader. I'll delve a little bit deeper into it. It's a top 20 finish for Emiliano Grillo. In the form of his life this year, putting up strong numbers and stats associated with good golf at Carnoustie. Ranks the top 10 in driver and accuracy and strokes gained approach. Strong player in the wind with top 10s at the Honda Classic, the Indian Open, the Fortran Invitational, all tournaments where the wind blew consistently all week. All the above point to a good showing, and with prices of 6-1 out there, I think, if you go shopping, I think that's a cracking bet.
Lovely. And Steve, if you had a son, what would you call him?
Well, it was going to be Rory, wasn't it, a few years ago?
Oh,
but
yeah,
he scarred me a few too many times. It might be Tiger, though, the way things are going. But yeah, I got a bit of work to do in that respect. Hideto Tanihara was for top Japanese was 10-1 shot. I forgot to mention what a big price he was. But my other tops, bet I like the look of is Grant Forrest for top Scott, because I backed him in the outright. Might be a bit ambitious to win the outright, but I think top Scott is certainly within his compass because Russell Knox is odds-on favourite there, and I think Knox has run out of puff. This is his sixth week of competitive golf. He looked exhausted on Sunday. He carded a fine around 75 in the Scottish Open on Sunday, the same time as Brandon Stone shooting 60. Knox also is in that three ball with Matsuyama and Woods, and yeah, that's a tough ask for him. I think Grant Forrest at 7-1 for top Scott is a good one. And then Emiliano Grillo, the way I like him, I think Ian's right, sets up well for him, Carnoustie, but top South American at 5-6, yeah, that's another one you can just pick up a few easy quid, only got to beat Zanotti and Johnny Vegas.
I spoke to Tom Siegel this morning, who's obviously one of the greatest horse judges in the world, but he's also very good on golf, and his two are Grace and Grillo, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to create a big 11 here. Johnson, Rose, Fowler, McIlroy, Fleetwood, Rahm, Spieth, Koepka, Thomas Woods and Garcia. Out of those, the front 11 in the betting, which player would you not go near with a barge pole? Joe Champion.
Probably Rory at the prices. You know, we know he's got proven class, but he's not shown it well since Bay Hill, and that was pretty much a one-off. He folded at the Masters as well when he was really in contention. I'd stay away from him on fast, firm conditions that aren't necessarily going to suit him.
And Ian is cacking himself here because he wants to say Tiger Woods, don't you?
I'll save it. I have a nap that's actually against Tiger Woods, but I'll save it for that. The player, I'd agree with Joe, Rory. He looks like the point of his career now where he has to have a setup where it suits him perfectly, a soft, long golf course, and then he'll kind of get himself into position, get himself confident, get himself in the right mindset. This week just seems like, right, I'm going to pound the driver and let's see what kind of happens. As Joe said, fast, firm conditions just do not suit him at all. Receptive greens might help him a touch, but I think he just doesn't have the patience or the strategy to contend.
And Steve, who out of those ones would you not really fancy?
Jordan Spieth. I think Spieth has been appalling since the Masters. He's bereft of putting confidence. I'll give you an amazing stat that's been doing the rounds on Twitter. This time last year, Spieth was 10th on the US Tour, putting stats from 15 to 25 feet. That used to be the range where he's absolutely deadly. This year, he's 200th out of 201.
That's incredible, isn't it?
So, yeah, his putter has just gone, and he knows it. He tried to talk himself back into form a few weeks back, didn't come off. He's played courses that he's traditionally destroyed, like Colonial, and he's been terrible. So I think Jordan's having problems ever since he got engaged, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a factor there?
Maybe. Who knows what's going on in that little head of his?
He always seemed so sensible, didn't he? Okay, right then. After his disastrous remix of This Will Not Be Beaten at the US Open, we won't be asking Steve to sing. We'll have the studio version, please, producer Jack.
This will not be beaten.
Your open naps, please, gentlemen. Ian, you go first.
My naps are two match bets and it's paired up in a double. Two singles in a double. So it's cover your ears, Steve. Brooks Koepka to beat Tiger Woods at 10 to 11. And Alex Narn to beat Jason Day at 10 to 11, I think. The Brooks and Tiger, I thought, were polar players apart when I was over there. I personally think Brooks should beat Tiger quite easily. And then Narin to beat Day. Day has been unsighted for months. Poor open record. Narin's going to be solid all week. So, and it's 5-2 the double. I think they're cracking bets.
Sounds good. Joe?
Koepka again, this time to beat Justin Thomas. Ian said he wasn't particularly impressed when he saw him. And, you know, Link's inexperienced on Link's courses. Poor open record, 53rd in missed cut.
And you can endorse that from your scouting mission, can you, Ian?
Absolutely agree, yeah.
And the great man, Mr. Palmer, who's your nap, mate?
I think a Tiger Woods top 20 should be odds on in at 6-4. This is the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. Get on the GOAT boat. Light the candle, Tiger!
Steve, where are you staying, by the way? You in just Dundee?
I can't reveal that. I'll have all my groupies, all these sexy girls will come charging after.
All right, are you in a rural location or a city
I'm in
location?
Dundee. I'm prepared to announce that I'm in Dundee.
Okay, we won't specify this. Because you normally leave it late and end up in some hideous flea pit, don't you?
I must admit, I don't know, disrespect to the people of Dundee. That's not my favourite city in Scotland.
Which is your favourite open to go and stay at?
Oh, St Andrews. I know it's very cliche, but St Andrews is absolutely beautiful. I love staying in the university halls where Prince William used to do his business. I always look forward to those ones.
And which is the one that you kind of the least thrilled about?
Turnberry, just because the traffic's ridiculous. You just can't get to Turnberry.
Oh,
and
okay.
You end up spending most of it in a car, yeah.
So what will you... Perish the thought, Steve, but Friday night, it just hasn't happened for Tiger. His iron play's been loose. He's missed the cut. How will you cope? Will you be all right?
I think
of your beautiful wife and your gorgeous little daughter.
Yes. I have actually uploaded a screensaver this morning that will provide that role for me. Wife in her bikini and carrying daughter along the sands of Mauritius. So, yeah, if it all goes horribly wrong, I'll just have to stare at that for a little bit and get my head around it. But, you know, I as you say, I've been planning this pump for a few weeks. And, when he finished fourth in the Quicken Loans, and I really like what I saw there, I thought this was the time to... Yeah, just man up and go take the opportunity. It's there for you. Excellent. And wring every little bit out of it.
Good luck, Steve. I hope it goes well. Good luck, Ian, and good luck, champ. Now then, great news. We are doing weekly golf postcasts starting next week. Well, actually, starting today, but continuing next week. Steve, you're very excited about that news, aren't you?
Oh, I can't contain myself.
No, it sounds like it. Ian, does the rota enable you to be available for most of these? Because we love having you on.
I should be fine to get the most of these, yeah.
And who's your reserve? What's he called?
It'd be between two or three, Tim Lynch and David Barrett. And obviously Dave Curran might make a spectacular comeback after years.
Oh, that would be emotional to have
years
Dave
in the doldrums,
back.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. I hope you'll be able to join us for a few of those as well,
certainly,
champ.
Yeah.
Very excited. So like I say, don't forget, every Wednesday, golf postcasts from next week. Don't miss them at all. And next week, we're looking at the Porsche European Open. He says name-checking the sponsor, hopefully for a product, and the RBC Canadian Open. No doubt I won't get a Porsche, but I will get an account with RBC. Okay, if you enjoy these shows, do please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Steve, 9.5 hours in the car. Bring a flask. What do you do with your dad? Do you chat away or do you have comfortable silence?
We normally have Radio 5 live on for the entire journey, and then when it gets on the loop and you've listened to the same news story about six times, then you start thinking, oh, all right, we better actually change this. So hopefully it's a big news day today.
And do you share the driving?
No. I don't trust anyone else with my vehicle.
Don't you?
No. I'll drive the entire way. Yeah.
And which way are you going? Across to Yeovil and up the M5?
Wherever the sat nav takes me. Hopefully, yeah. I better make sure I get that right. There was one open where we ended up in the last throes of the journey, just ended up in a forest in the middle of nowhere because we'd gone the wrong way. So, yeah. I've got a mission ahead of me, but hopefully by 6:46 a.m. on Thursday, I'll be following Matthew Southgate.
Fantastic. Safe journey. Have a great week. Don't forget you can read Steve Palmer every day during the Open. Not to be missed. Good luck, Ian. Good luck, champ. Thank you very much for tuning in. Back next week with another Racing Post Golf Postcast in association with Paddy Power.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.